This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. And if you live in certain eastern Illinois counties, you may be getting used to this sound lately. Okay, these sounds like the phaser in the original Star Trek to me, but these are, in fact, Brood 10 cicadas. Brood X, you may have seen them listed, but it's a Roman numeral. Brood 10 cicadas in Vermilion County. This particular brood of cicadas have made themselves heard also, not only Vermilion, but Clark, Crawford, and Edgar counties in Illinois, plus 16 other states in the Midwest and out east. And if you haven't been fortunate enough, or, I don't know, maybe unfortunate enough, depending on how you feel about cicadas, to hear them this year, you have 2024 to look forward to, when two other broods of cicadas, 13-year and 17-year, are going to be coming out all across Illinois. Joining us now to talk about what exactly is a brood and when we can expect the cicadas that are here now to go back underground and then come back again is Katie Dana, a scientific specialist and entomology PhD candidate with the Illinois Natural History Survey. Katie, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And listeners, we, as always, want to invite you to join our conversation. Can you hear cicadas where you live right now? Do you find the sound intriguing? Or maybe only for 10 minutes, then it becomes annoying? Or maybe you just have a question for our cicada expert. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So Katie, what does it mean, brood 10? Maybe you can just talk about, you know, isn't a cicada a cicada?
Right. So in Illinois, we actually have 22 different species of cicadas. And so you can think about your dog day cicadas, and then you can think about your periodical cicadas. And those are, that's like brood 10. Periodical cicadas come out earlier than our normal dog day cicadas. We have five different broods in Illinois. And what a brood is it's a group of periodical cicadas that emerge in a region on a specific year. So it can either be on a 13 or a 17-year cycle. Brood 10 is actually a 17-year cycle. And what's really interesting is in that brood, we have three different species. So three different species of 17-year cicadas that each have their own call and look a little bit different.
So I'm curious, what exactly it constitutes a brood then, if they're different species? That's not a term that I've heard applied to other animals, but maybe it's just because I'm not as into entomology as you are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, brood means different things in different contexts, obviously. It can mean offspring, right? But for this case, it was defined by someone named Marlett in 1907, where he, you know, traveled around the U.S. and documented each of these broods. And you can imagine that if they're coming out every 17 years, it takes a while to figure out where these are. So it took a lot of citizen science to be able to document the range of a brood, right? So this brood is one of the largest broods. It stretches from, you know, Illinois all the way across the United States, pretty far east. You know, in Illinois, we have some smaller broods too. Brood 3 is a bit smaller. That's usually in the northwestern part of the state. So it's just really interesting to have these, you know, complexes of species that come out at the same time. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all of these different broods. I can't remember exactly what number we go up to, but it's past 23 different broods in the United States.
Yeah, there's a great map. I think it's from the U.S. Forest Service. We'll try and post a link to that on our website at 21stshow.org that shows sort of different colors for all the various Roman numeral brood groups and where they, which counties you can find them in across the United States. Let's talk about the cicadas themselves. How do they actually make that sound that's so distinctive?
So it's kind of like they have this really thin membrane that's stretched out that when it buckles, it makes this sound. And if you were to dissect a cicada, a male cicada, you'd find that it's actually mostly full of air. So it kind of acts as like a chamber, a resonance chamber to amplify this sound. And Magus cicada in particular is not one of the loudest cicadas that we have. We have much louder cicadas. But when you get them in these huge numbers, it gets incredibly loud. They really are not very loud compared to some of the other species that I find in Illinois.
A membrane in air. I'm trying to imagine, is that like a bagpipe then, basically? I'm trying to like figure out what musical instrument metaphor to apply here.
I mean, I guess probably closer to a drum in a
A
sense,
drum, okay.
but yeah, it's a membrane that buckles
Oh,
and then
interesting.
gets amplified in their body and yeah, through their panel chambers, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking to a percussionist here. There is a drum called a lion's roar with a string attached to the head, and you pull on the string and it goes. Maybe that's it. I don't know. All right, how loud does this actually get when you're physically there for people who don't have the benefit of experiencing it firsthand this year?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've tried to track the decibels, and it doesn't come up very high on my phone, but it's constant. It's hard to have a conversation when you're out in some of these areas, and you'll notice that there's what we call chorus centers. So, if one male is calling, usually other males, join in, and they'll actually kind of fly into these chorus centers where it just gets incredibly loud. So when you're driving down the street, if you have your window open, sometimes you can hear them. So you'll be driving, and then you'll hear this really, really loud chorus center, and then it'll get a little bit quieter, and then it'll get louder again. So they all kind of come to the same place to make it really, really loud.
And is this like so much in nature a mating ritual, or maybe not ritual is not the right term, but a mating practice?
So the males are the ones that make noise. Females can't make noise. And so males will sing, and a female of the same species will fly closer to the male. And her response is actually to flick her wings to say that she is receptive to the male. And they do a little dance and mate. And then the females will go on to lay eggs in the stems of branches. So, yeah, this is all about mating. Huge mating chorus centers, all over, Eastern Illinois right now.
Okay, let me remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Brood 10 cicadas, which have arrived in parts of eastern Illinois. Our phone lines are open for your calls at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Katie Dana. She's a scientific specialist in entomology, PhD candidate for the Illinois Natural History Survey. And again, we want to know if you can hear the cicadas where you live, 800-222-9455. So, Katie, can we talk about the life cycle of a cicada? When do we expect Brood 10 to complete its circle of life in this phase anyway, and sort of disappear?
So usually about mid-June is when they end, but when we start to see them dying back. But this year is a little bit interesting in Illinois in particular. While other states were reporting emergencies, I was going out to places in eastern Illinois and not seeing any cicadas, not hearing any cicadas. So because of the cooler weather we had at the beginning of their emergence, I think that we're a little bit further behind. So it's possible that we could go past mid-May, but probably not by much. Or
And
sorry,
so,
mid-June.
right, mid-June. So these nymphs, I believe they're called, you mentioned the females lay their eggs in trees, the nymphs come out, they go underground. I'm fascinated by this idea of a 17-year cycle. How do they mark time?
That's a really good question. Researchers have done some things where they actually, dig up nymphs and get sort of an idea of how long it takes between each molt. So generally, for our 17-year cicadas, it takes about 1 year for them to molt to what we call the next instar. So that makes them a little bit bigger. And then after that, it takes about 4 years between each successive molt. So they have about five different molts before they come above ground. And we can predict emergences to a certain extent by the temperature of the soil. So it's possible that they're using temperature, yeah, it takes them a very long time to grow underground for 17 years and molt underground. And part of that has to do with the food that they're eating. They are feeding on really, really low nutrition food underground, which is the xylem from plant roots. So they form a little chamber underground, and then they feed off of a root for 17 years. And it takes quite a bit of juice and some endosymbionts to help them to be able to get to the size that we see above ground. So they start out at less than a grain of rice, and then come out to, you know, being, you know, the size that we see above ground.
And if people are gardening, digging for whatever reason, are they likely to find cicadas? Can you see them if you're, you know, let's say you're 11 in the 17 year cycle?
Yeah. You know, I've actually dug them up a few times. You don't have to be 11 to want to find them, but they are underground, usually within the first about top foot of soil. So they don't go very deep, and you'll find them in little chambers around a root. You can find our dog day cicadas, and you can find our magic cicada, our periodical cicadas underground as well.
Fascinating. All right. So a little bit of a departure here, but I've seen a candy business in Maryland. you probably know where this is going. That is trying to take advantage of the abundance of cicadas this year and selling chocolate covered cicadas. You can place the order online, I guess, $18 a dozen. Have you ever tried eating a cicada?
You know, I haven't. As a researcher, I usually want to collect them to study, but there are definitely large numbers of them out for eating, and I have eaten other insects, and I do recommend trying it if you haven't before, as long as you are not allergic to shellfish. So there is some, you know, potential cross-reactivity there. So definitely, if you have allergies, be careful. But insects in general, anything that you fry is delicious, in my opinion.
So you're cooking it, but you recommend cooking before eating, though, not doing
definitely
survival thing. Okay. It's safe, though, if you don't have a shellfish allergy to eat a cicada?
Yeah, you know, it's strange because they have such bright colors that you'd think that they might be toxic, but they are not toxic. So don't worry too much if your dog eats a cicada off the street. It'll be fine.
Okay, so looking ahead then, will there be, when can Illinoisans broadly across the entire state expect cicadas to emerge in the years ahead? I think I was reading 2024. I mean, how is that going to compare to brood 10 that we're seeing now?
Well, you know, if there are any listeners in the Chicago region, they might remember 2007 when we had brood 13 come out in northern Illinois. But what's really incredible is that in 2024, that same brood is going to come out in Chicago again. So that's in the northern half of the state. But also, we're going to have a 13-year brood emerging in the southern half of the state. So the whole state will be covered in Magic Cicadas in 2024. And it's going to be incredible to witness. There will be no escape. But also there is the potential to look at some of the overlap regions. So you can imagine when we're talking about prime numbers like these, we don't often get broods that overlap and come out at the same year in the same geographic region. So I'm really excited to see if these two broods are able to mate and what the potential offspring might have in terms of their own life cycle.
Yeah, prime numbers. Boy, how often is it that a 13 and a 17, you know, year cycle overlaps like that? I'm going to have to ask a mathematician to do that for me, unless you happen to know, you know, was it
no,
12,
I don't know off the
1200s
top of my
or something
head.
Like that? Yeah, okay. So is there a chance that those 13-year-old, and I guess I'm curious that, you know, at the defined geography, why don't these broods seem to migrate very much? Or do they, and maybe it's just so it's such a slow process, we don't see it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a slow process. But, you know, the other thing is that these broods aren't perfect at timing. So we get what we call stragglers coming out. In Chicago, in particular, in 2020, there may be some people that experienced a lot of periodical cicadas coming out. I actually drove up to Chicago to see this. And so these cicadas came out 4 years early. And one thing that can happen with these broods is it could be possible that we are seeing the creation of a new brood in the Chicago region from these stragglers. So if enough cicadas come out early and they mate and reproduce, it's possible that they could form their own brood.
Wow.
And that would kind of, you know, show you that these broods are not, they're not static, right? We're getting some broods popping into existence and some broods, unfortunately, popping out of existence.
Well, as they say in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. My guest has been Katie Dana, scientific specialist and entomology PhD candidate with the Illinois Natural History Survey. Katie, thanks so much. This has been fascinating.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, I want to remind you, visit our website, 21stshow.org. You can see images of cicadas as well as that map I referred to where you can look at the different broods all across the U.S. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.